Hello, this is Robinson's Show and Tell with Josie Long and Martin White and special guest star Howard Reed.
Hi.
The cartoonist. Don't say hi, you're still in the credits. You don't get that in Streets of San Francisco where they go, and special best guest star, Ernest Borgnine. Hi. That would be ridiculous.
I was thinking we're doing it more Happy Days, where there's a picture of them, or Hello Hello, where they do an amusing double take to camera, like in the credits of Hello Hello. I thought that's what was going on. Robin, why is the show called And Tell?
Because the show element doesn't work alone on an audio-based thing. So if we just showed people some things...
Oh, so it's show and tell.
Show and tell.
Robin's like, show and tell.
Yeah. Did I not make it clearly? Okay.
No, I think I intentionally misunderstood.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, that was very clever. So this is the first of the podcast that we've ever done together. Josie Long is here. And then you get the wooing.
Okay,
and then
I go,
Josie, what are you doing? And you're going, I'm just trying to drink some Coke. And we all lark about the fact that you've got some Coke going out of your nose, which means nothing to people outside this room at all.
Yeah.
First of all, before we even get started, as you know, we've got Josie Long, best...
Fuck. But
are we allowed to swear?
No, you're not. Because if you were allowed to swear, what would happen, Josie Long?
Every other effing word would
be fuck this, fuck that. I'm really Yuffie. Look at me wearing Birkenstocks or whatever it is.
I can't afford Birkenstocks.
Well, or at their nearest equivalent Birkenstocks made by the man who lives down your road.
I tell you what sandals I own, and that is some sandals I bought from a French hypermarket meant for young boys.
Why do you cross-dress but only on your feet? Because a lot of people find that quite disappointing when they go to see cross-dressing comedian Josie Long. People go, well, she was just dressed like a girl. Go, take a look at the sandals. Well, they're boyish, but only your feet you see as male.
I just like to put conventions on their head.
But that's not really... Why is that a convention that merely feet would be, for cross-dressing but nothing else?
I just feel like you're attacking me.
I'm not. I'm just interested. I'm interested about the kind of,
No,
cross...
I do all kinds of cross-dressing.
Do you?
No, not really. I just don't make much of an effort. And I see things for €3 and I think, if I don't buy that, I won't have anything to wear on the beach.
Oh, that's why you've got that French school uniform from Montmartre as well, haven't you? For boys.
I had to wear it on the beach.
Yeah. Running around. And the Lederhosen from Germany.
Beach wear.
Well, Lederhosen isn't technically beachwear, it's alpine wear.
Beachwear.
That's the theme of the mountains there by Martin White. But there was too much of a theme now. It was lovely when it was just a little improvised thing.
Now it feels like
I liked it.
Anyway, we haven't yet got a theme tune for these things, so it would be nice to have an introduction in, because music is
a way... I thought that could have been a good theme tune, Martin, and I think, frankly, he's just shooting you down.
But that would have been... Well, let's just try it again as a theme tune.
Well, yeah, I mean...
Would the whole thing have to be Alpine theme?
German Lederhosen theme might be... Schau und...
Well, that's just doing an accent with a slight lisp. That's not being German, having an accent and a lisp.
And then there could be a chorus that goes, show.
But then that does sound just like a programme especially for children, doesn't it?
What is wrong with that?
Nothing at all, Josie. That's why you're here.
If you can't let me F and Jeff, you can at least let me. Are they slow-witted?
Right, yeah. Well, no, that you're here to represent the young. Howard's here to represent the slow-witted. And Martin's here to represent the extremely underrepresented on podcasts, accordionists.
The accordionists.
So you think, let's just try that then as a theme tune.
I'd rather actually have a theme tune that had some more excitement in it. Like if it was like, run up the stairs! Yes! That's better.
See what's up there.
Faster.
It's someone called Terry. Let's show him something.
Well, we'll try that again now you've put that together. That sounds great. So
I should agree who's going to sing the line.
Right, okay. Yeah, okay.
No, I liked it.
Try the run up the stairs thing.
Just lining up ideas, wrong.
Yeah. I could do a sort of ascending motif, sort of representing the... Like a...
Running up the stairs!
They never end. I'm getting an asthma attack.
Oh shit, I've bought the wrong puffer. I've bought the brown one, but not the blue one.
Oh no, Josie's turned blue.
No.
Oh, and she's falling down the stairs.
Asthma.
Oh no. Ow. Oh. Guns N' Roses did.
So I think that's an unbridled hit.
Martin, do you have any ideas for a theme? Remember, this is a podcast. It's young people generally.
I hadn't really come with any preconceived notions. I was hoping we were just going to, you know, jam together.
No.
There's
already another show really that does that.
Oh, is there?
That's no, this is meant to be far more haphazard than jamming.
This is like marmalading or...
Can I say on behalf of children,
I should have written
I stole
it down
some of the sweets from the... What's that place that you get in, the introduction place?
Reception.
Yeah, I saw some of the sweets from the reception.
Well, you didn't you can't steal the complimentary sweets from the reception because they're complimentary sweets.
They love hearts. They said, I love you and things like that.
No, they just look great today. Bald sweets.
I've misunderstood complimentary sweets.
Okay, show and tell.
How would you express show?
Yeah. Okay, just show off.
Okay, no.
Hello, welcome to the Robin into the podcast.
But then that's not...
That was uncanny, it's like he was in the room.
That's bigging it up though, but with also a sense of Bell's palsy or some similar stroke-based thing. So now...
Could you get a Swanee whistle as well?
Hello,
can you do Swanee whistle?
You can't bend notes on it, so you can't go whoop.
I didn't realise.
I could just go whoop like that with my mouth.
Yeah, that'd be fine. Right, Josie Long, what is show and tell? Right, first of all, what makes you feel, I want to know what you've seen the last week that makes you feel happy. Now, I know that you're very keen on, you told me about a few weeks back, you saw a goth in a suit, which made you joyous.
Yeah.
What have you seen since then? Because you're an observational comedian, aren't you, mainly?
Oh, Crivens, I haven't been out of the house. What I've been doing is I've been playing Guess Who with my housemate.
Who most turned up? I always find it's Bernard.
I never get Bernard, ever. I get is one of them ones with like an egg-shaped face, a moustache and beard, and hair around the sides.
I've been playing Human Guess Who. I do a thing in my animation shows where I draw someone in the audience and they all have to stand up, sit down one more. It's probably a breach of copyright, but no one's backing it up. But I've been doing children's shows recently.
Could you call it something else, though? Human, your face or something?
Human, yeah, maybe, yeah.
What your face?
Your face or mine, that's as well.
Right.
But I've been doing it recently with children in children's shows, and it turns out all children look exactly the same. They've all got exactly the same hairstyle. I've only got one colour pen. It's really hard to work out what colour hair there is. It's a minefield. There's like 100 kids. You've got to draw one of them. So which one? Boy, girl, it's hard. And then if there's any boys standing up, then they all look exactly the same. Girls, at least, have got different shaped hair. Little boys all look exactly the same to me.
Do you end up having to go, yes, I was thinking of the eight of you.
Yeah, all eight of you.
Kate Copstick is a popular Scottish reviewer who I believe said some very rude things about
said, and then in the second show that I did, I called her, may I use the phrase, fucking whore, a great volume. She thought it was, everybody thought it was hilarious because most people don't like it very much, but she also thought it was hilarious and pretty much single-handedly got me nominated for the Perrier. So if any advice for any young comedians out there, if you want to get there, just swear at important people.
Hey, can I bleep out the swearing with the accordion?
That would be good. Oh, yeah.
So what did you call her?
I called her a f***ing whore.
Can I actually talk about a thing that I can show and tell?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that gets you straight out of the fucking whore debate, though.
No, okay, well...
you only do it for Howard. I see. That's very...
Here's what I think.
Right.
Genuinely. I'm obviously anti...
No, don't then just blank out everything Josie says.
That'd be great. And that is why feminism is brilliant. The end. What I wanted to say is my mum is moving house to a smaller house, and I moved out of her house, I think, six years ago.
You're looking at your watch.
I left because I was, I thought it could help me.
6 years ago.
I'm autistic, that's how I measure time. I'm not autistic.
We have a very slow watch.
Very, very slow. My mum is moving house to a smaller house, and there's one cupboard in her house full of things related to me that, for whatever reason, I haven't moved out yet. And she gave to me folders, massive A1 folders, of all the artwork I ever produced between the age of nothing and 16. And it's been quite revelatory.
Well, what have you found?
A lot of things which I started with, obviously, all the passion and enthusiasm and excitement in the world. And then obviously after a day, completely lost interest. So there's all these magazines that I half made. Like this magazine called Hobby Magazine. And I've gone so far as to cut out the word hobby in five different colours for each letter of neon paper. And I've decorated the Hobby Magazine. What's inside? The A to Z of hobbies. And you open it up and it's like all these C, hobbies beginning with C, clarinetting, canoeing, cello playing. It's rubbish. But then you get to O and I'm just going, ah, fuck, forget it.
I don't think the magazine would have taken off.
I think magazines would take off like that, though, if the magazine editors always lost interest halfway through. So you'd be reading a take-a-break style magazine about someone falling off a balcony and a dog, you know, chewing off a thing's face. And then suddenly it would become all about tanks. And then it would be
Josie
about
edited fishing. Magazines, that would be exactly
magazine.
What it
would be. It'd be called, like, Wow, Thank Christ magazine. And then the first page would be like, oh, my God, guys, have you totally read any books by Raymond Carver? Right, Raymond Carver, totally read any books. But next page, I drew a picture of a swan. I tell you what I've been doing this last week as well. I've got a joke in my show about how I'm a stand-up, and basically what that means is that my
that
life...
That is a joke, sorry.
Howard. I don't want to say anymore.
Oh, no, sorry.
We'll just turn Howard's mic down for a bit.
Yes.
Oh, right. Guys...
I like the fact that we've got this effect all the way through, which is just you slowly sucking a sweet and then removing the sweet and then sucking the sweet.
Oh.
Sorry.
What were you saying before?
Sorry, in your stand-up show, you've got a joke.
So, because I'm a stand-up and I'm 24 years old and I go around the country, my life revolves around snack foods and self-doubt. And then I'll talk about it. And I've been trying to make up new snack foods based around self-doubt. So I've got they're not going to laugh O's. Your recent material is less imaginative sticks, and I fear criticism on the internet sickles. But I was seeing if you guys could maybe think up some of your own.
Potato crunchy, I've peaked.
All I've ever dreamt of has come true, and I've realised it was with shattering disillusionment, ginger snaps.
Nice.
I was going to say to you, Josie, on the show and tell, of course, something that you have won this year thing, haven't you? And we were going to have, because you've won something, Howard, haven't you?
I've won, yeah. I've been nominated things, but technically, if you get nominated for it, you get a thing saying, you're the winner of the nomination, therefore I am a winner.
Still a winner.
But I've won other things as well.
So you made one of the best newcomer in 1999. And then...
I'm technically newer than you.
No, not anymore, because 4 or 5 years later,
then I got,
Six years later, after winning Best Newcomer at BBC, Josie Long won Best Newcomer on Chortle, the comedy website.
Oh, I see.
And only this year, Josie in Edinburgh won Best Newcomer from the Eddies.
She's very clever, the way she's managed to avoid people knowing that she exists for so long, but... That, and then everyone just popping up and you're like the comedy Baden Powell. You pop up and go, oh, look how funny I am, and go, oh, she's brilliant, I've never seen her before, and then you hide for years. You're like a crab,
right? Which does that sound weird, that sweet? How weird
I'm
does
sorry,
that sound?
Shall I just crunch it up and get rid of it? I'm so sorry.
I can hear it really loud in my headphones.
Oh God,
it really is loud.
I'm sorry. I had tinnitus.
I'm really sorry.
It basically, you just make anyone who's managed to download this now merely believe that someone's dropped their speakers in their toilet. Right.
I think Josie should talk again. It's easy with Josie.
No, I don't want Josie to talk anymore because she's always got sweets in her mouth and now she's got all syrup down her dress. Sweet syrup.
That's not syrup. Aha.
Well, see, that's
it's not a dress.
Oh. Right, Howard.
I made a dirty.
I knew this would be difficult with you. I wanted someone who was wry, whereas you're boisterous. I wanted someone who was one of those kind of, you know, wry commentator or something.
About rye. Me and Howard have a wheaten time.
Yeah! Delivery misunderstanding, high five! Woo!
Excellent. Right. So, tell me about your wheat intolerance then.
I've moved back from. If you describe this podcast, I'd say there's no chaff. There's nothing but wheat. We're both allergic to it.
We can't eat that.
We're enjoying it now. Tomorrow we'll feel tired and listless.
The other day, I had quite achy shoulders, and I thought it was quite because of stress. But actually, I think it was swelling due to a wheat intolerance.
Right.
That's what I discovered today. That wheat can give me achy shoulders. And no matter how much massage, there's not a muscular pain.
You see, Robin's not interested in this. The wheat intolerant community will be bawling in the aisles.
This is going to be massive.
It's killer.
In the wheat intolerance. Terence Stamp
shouldn't
gets
we have
of
more
this.
Tolerance for wheat, though, in today's day and age?
I don't know how much we can. This is right. One of the things that, because I did actually bother to bring some things to show
you
and tell
knew
about
what was going on.
No, I did tell you, Howard. But you probably your wheat intolerance had made your ears swell so that you couldn't comprehend anything and your brain shrivel. First of all, I don't know if this is true of either of you. I want to find out. Well, I found this book. Called The Secrets of Picking Up Sexy Girls. It's from the 1970s.
Nice.
And so it's from a different time, different rules and regulations. But I went to this bookshop, and there's a lot of these in Manchester, which on the outside look like just normal but cheap secondhand bookshops, right, with all broken secondhand books. And I start to tell people about this, and no one else had the experience. You go in and you go, oh, it's just a rubbish secondhand book. And then you get inside, and that's merely been a kind of cloaking device. And the cloaking device of the Catherine Cooksons and the Susan Howitches is actually to cover up for the fact that inside it sells dirty, filthy magazines and appliances.
Yeah.
Have you ever come across those shops?
Yeah.
Joke shops. Almost all joke shops have got a small funny cupboard. Do you ever go in a joke shop? They've got a dirty cupboard where they've got in a joke shop. Why is it that jokes, like in all seaside towns, there's jokes and there's like funny wigs and there's stink bombs and there's wigs and masks and things, and then there's dildos.
In your joke shops, do they move them up
not
in
my
stages? Oh, do you not have any yet?
I don't own a joke shop yet.
You should. No. I think your child would be very proud of you. Not more proud than you aping around.
I think
around
the child would be scared. You'd be going and grabbing, look at this, look at this, put this down your back. I don't want to, I don't want to.
What's that smell? It's another one of Howard's capsules, because I like my children to call me Howard. You know. So what were you going to ask?
No, that's made me think, actually, on jokes, because a lot of them are rubbish, obviously, jokes from joke shops. I remember once going trick-or-treaty when it was still quite early, you know, in the 1970s, it wasn't big. Like, and you know that when you see it in America, it's always people end up, the trick is throwing a thing over the, like covering a house in toilet paper or setting fire to leaves they put through the door. And our trick, we hadn't really thought out, it was trick-or-treat. And if they didn't give us a treat, we'd go, oh, do you want one of our sweets? Which would quite clearly, I suppose, give away the fact that it was our trick. And then we believe that the old woman would go, yes. Ah, but my mouth is burning. It didn't work at all. So in the end, we had to set fire to some of our animals in a cage. But then that felt like going too far. It's very difficult with trick or treating, isn't it, to get the exact balance. You know, you must have gone trick or treating.
I did. I went trick-or-treating. The last time I went trick-or-treating, I was 14 years old, which I think is too old.
That's quite old.
Yeah. And there was a boy who I went out with for a day called Matthew Dyson, who since cheated on IQ tests. So,
how do you know that?
Because I was friends with one of his friends, and because when I went out with him, he was boasting about his IQ, and I thought, that is very high. And then I saw one of his friends from school. One of his friends from school went, oh, yeah, but he took the paper home for a week to revise the paper before he took the paper.
One of my favourite things
That's
is when you can go...
That's quite a clever thing to do, though. Does that count?
No.
Ironically.
But, yeah, he dumped me. And then after he'd already dumped me, we picked him up and we all went trick-or-treating. And get this, he was 15 years old at the time. He dressed in his costume that he used for live-action role-playing at Chislehurst Caves.
Next Halloween, I'm going to go trick-or-treating on my own. But dressed in a Dracula uniform designed for an 8-year-old, and see how scared people get.
Well, that would be really scary because it won't cover your naked body at all.
No.
So you'll merely be a naked man with what appears to be a bat hanging over his shriveled and unpleasant penis.
Just
I presume
one
you've
hand.
Still got the same penis you've always had.
Yeah,
the shriveled and unpleasant one. No, you were saying about those IQ tests. One of the things that I like most is, you know, you can go on the internet and do an IQ test.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's possible to not do well on them. Have you ever tried not to do well? Because what it always does, you do the IQ test, it goes, well, this is incredible. You've got an IQ of 193. Perhaps you'd like to have that on a certificate sent, framed to you for $500.
And you go, well, why? A man of my stature.
Yeah, a man of my intelligence would probably send even more than that.
I have to go to the toilet quickly, is that okay?
You had to go to the toilet last time
I
as
know,
well.
But I'm drinking nothing but caffeine.
Well, stop. That's not an excuse, is it?
I'll move on to water.
Okay.
If I'm allowed, I'm sorry.
I found this book in, I can't remember, I think it was Scope. It's called What God Does When Women Pray. And I just wanted to know what you thought the differences may be.
Because, ooh.
I like the fact that it goes, that it's a very lazy book as well, because it's from the author of the 3 million bestseller, What Happens When Women Pray. And then she'll say, well, what God does when... But that's basically the same, isn't it? Now, Josie, we've got a question for you. Okay. I've shown you this book before, and I want to know if you can tell me... Because I don't know, I haven't read it. This is my favourite title so far of a book. What God does when women... Stop touching the things!
I thought I had to adjust the mic, and then I realised that it was actually very stupid to adjust the mic because we'd already done the levels.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I realised that after the fact.
Right.
Sorry, what was the question?
What do you think? I got this book. It's by Evelyn Christensen.
Is that the author of What Women Do When They Pray?
Author of What Happens When Women Pray?
That's the one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
that's one of
my favourite. But she's brought a sequel out.
Oh, great.
Called What God Does When Women Pray.
Okay.
I just wondered if you knew what the difference was, because you're a woman, and we thought we'd use your gender bias to try and work out.
What we could do is I could have a bit of a pray now.
Right.
And we could see what God does.
Yeah. We could do a controlled experiment. I could pray as well.
But we have to pray in our heads, and then we'll have to say what we prayed for after.
Okay.
So, Josie, pray, do a bit of praying. Right.
Maybe we should have some praying music or something. Okay.
Yeah, but put some praying, something...
Amen.
Oh, Howard's is longer. This might make it more.
Amen. I just talk slow when I'm talking to God. I'm not.
It's because you're embarrassed, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not saying it's stupid or anything like that. That'd be terrible.
No. You're just easily embarrassed in the shadow of the Lord.
I start stuttering. You know,
what I like is she says on the back, we want you to find the answer to the question, which is what we're going to do. We'll send a thing to Evelyn when we found this out. What happens when women pray? I find the difficult bit here. We want you to experiment for 6 months and, as scientifically as possible, discover what reaches.
She's just said we've only got 10 minutes. That's not going to happen.
No. Don't worry. No.
We can't.
No, you've. Oh, I think months. You've deliberately not understood me.
Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, what a disaster.
That was accidental, actually. Though.
Yeah. But how do you do it scientifically?
It should say what happens when women pray. What does God do when women pray? And how long does it take?
Yeah.
And that should be the title of the book.
But I think that's part of the whole thing. As you were saying, does God prioritise or does He go, well, I'll leave them for the time being?
If I'm honest, these aren't urgent ones.
Right. Okay.
You know? I think
you probably can actually say what they are.
I asked for chocolate biscuits and they're none here.
I said, dear God, hi. I haven't spoken to you for a while because I'm an atheist now. But last time we spoke, I was 11 and I was really into it then, if you remember. I even started a club with Julie Steele. Do you remember that? We put up a poster in the library.
Oh, yeah, there was that club magazine you brought out, which the first page was a picture of Christ, then the next page, Auschwitz again. Always ends up being Auschwitz
relevant.
Again.
That was the problem of evil. God, cheers. What I said was, can Howard make up something better than me? Because if anything, I think I've been a bit inconsistent.
I'm not necessarily saying that Evelyn is on the right path, but I think you're immediately merely due to his chocolate biscuit prayer and your unsubstantial prayer. I don't think we can come up with even a graph.
I bet
yet.
You there's a chapter where it goes, whoa, don't be too hasty about the godless universe.
Right,
I'll have a is look. There one?
No, I think it's got something about how Hollywood is evil and full of whores. Who is this God of our prayers? BC versus AD. That's a difficult one, isn't it? Which is your favourite period of time? All time before the birth of Christ, or just the 2,000 years afterwards?
It's a toughie.
Hang on, when's the cut-off point then? Is it the death of Jesus then?
I'm not sure even
theologically.
On that. I think we might be the wrong people to actually launch into this scientific religious experiment.
I'm a bishop, but...
you're not one of them thinking bishops.
I'm a lapsed bishop. I used to be a really active bishop.
What happened to my prayer? I have no sex.
What was your prayer?
My prayer was that Josie's wheat intolerance would be cured.
Now, you see, if both of your prayers were answered in advance, then we could find out whether your prayer had been advanced by whether the fact
But the problem with the wheat intolerance thing is it's not instant. So I'd be eating it now and we'd all be going, we're cured, there is a God, thank heavens, you know. And then tomorrow morning, stomach cramps, bloating.
Achy shoulders.
If anything, this has been a start to finish failure.
What about six? This is a good title, I think, for chapter. Sin in the Intercessor? Surprise? I don't know what that one means.
I'd like to intentionally misunderstand the word intercessor, but I don't understand
What is an intercessor?
I don't know. We'll have to get... what have the Christians done with Jesus? Anyone got an answer on that? Just to save time reading...
Started attributing things to him that he might not have actually believed.
Oh, edgy.
Zing.
Like a Jesus tribute band, sort of.
And the final things now, also, because we never quite got round to, we had a brief discussion about Joke Shop, Secrets to Pick Up Sexy Girls. Again, legally, I don't know whether I can use this advice. It's got
by
all
the ankles is my best advice, picking up sexy girls.
No, don't say anything. I don't want anyone to say anything for at least a minute.
Today,
blouses. No, this book, I don't know how much it was. It doesn't say you can. Men will cherish this book, which I think is a really weird thing to say about The Secrets of Picking Up Sexy Girls. The idea of then cherishing it doesn't feel like the kind of book that should be cherished, does it? Isn't cherish the wrong word?
It is the wrong word.
Cherish is what you do with your grandchildren or with your last happy days in the old house.
Or with your upside down sexy girl in the case of Howard Reed.
Oh, she wasn't upside down. I'm very strong. I can lift her up by her ankles just up in the air.
Can you do it to Josie now?
No. Yeah.
Well, okay. Anyway, this is the bit of advice that we're going to give this week from Secrets to Picking Up Sexy Girls. Blouses. Right, blouses. Okay.
Blouses.
With a willing girl, this should be first pulled out of her skirt before the buttons are undone. Right, willing girl. Mm-hmm. With a recently calmed girl, the opposite rule applies.
Recently calmed.
Yeah,
calmed.
This shows you how different the 1970s were. That they would actually go, yeah, well, I mean, there's lots of sexy girls. Some are willing, some need to be calmed.
I don't and how are they think explaining I this? Like this man.
We don't even know. It was Michael Rock Walsh Cross. Who wrote it.
No, Michael, I fucked him. Oh, no.
It's weird, Josie.
I knew
Josie,
it was
but...
weird, right, because he wouldn't get my blouse.
Oh, no.
Oh, how did he calm you? We can find out. How did he do it? What did he do to calm you?
He said,
or did you need calming?
He said, grit your teeth. It'll all be over soon.
No, because it was. He talks about you later on because he says the most awkward thing he found about you being a both willing but recently calmed girl was the fact that one side of your blouse was tucked in and the other wasn't. Therefore, he had to
retuck
it.
He didn't understand that was just my style. I like to dress a bit Remy.
Well, I think this was an absolute mess. but I suppose let's just count this as an experiment, and I'll put my own money into the next one to put a greater deal of pressure on. I think, and therefore,
next time.
Well, next time, I think we'll talk about a specific thing.
Shall I bring three things?
I want
next
you to
time?
Bring. I asked you to bring things, but you've forgotten because it was ages ago that I asked you. You have brought three tattoos, which is very impressive.
Yeah.
But what style of tattoo have you got, Josie? Are they just scratch on?
I've got a love heart to represent love. I've got a fairy to represent death, and I've got a dog to represent dogs.
Why does a fairy represent death?
Somebody told me that it represented death the other day. I thought it sounded good.
No, I think it represents the easily confused in late Victorian Britain.
Better?
Yeah. So there we go. You've got love, the easily confused in Victorian Britain, and a dog. Right, well, that's it. We'd never gotten to hobbies. I wanted to ask you what your hobby was, Howard. But if you ever had a hobby when you were a child.
Well, firstly,
we haven't got time for that. Martin got asked almost nothing, but he still said too much, which annoyed me because was that you would mainly play the accordion.
Fallacia.
You kept chipping in.
Stamps.
Josie, you were exuberant, and that's the main thing.
I apologise to the people on the internet who already hate me?
No. Never apologise to them. Incite them.
And I think that's what you've done.
Is that the outro theme then? Right,
yeah.
Okay then. Robin Ince's Show & Tell is produced for Paramount Comedy by Sarah Mahoney and Helen Quigley. The idea of talking into microphones was devised by Robin Ince. For more web-based entertainment, there's Paramount Comedy Shortcuts, brand new original material made exclusively for Paramount Comedy by current and rising stars of the comedy circuit. Visit paramountcomedy.com/shortcuts to check them out.